old and kindergarten or first grade and chanting on the playground at Collins Elementary School in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. So you do remember that, right? A lot of times we kind of look back on our childhood and our lives and we remember the good old days, but let's remember how far we've come in some ways in how we raise our kids. We now know that words can seriously hurt people. They can be even worse than sticks and stones. They leave wounds and scars that our eyes can't see. They have the ability to completely crush us. I know a woman who suddenly and tragically lost her first otherwise healthy child at 13 months. Most of us can only imagine the tsunami of grief that would come with that kind of a loss. She spent months recovering and processing her grief, working really hard, only to have all the progress she'd made completely crumble when somebody made an insensitive comment to her. We underestimate the power of our words to harm each other. They are just as much a weapon as our fists. People sometimes mourn political correctness in our world and live in fear of what they can say or do to someone. Having to think more carefully about how we talk to someone isn't always at the top of our lists. It requires us to change and to consider things from another's perspective, to take our cues from them instead of what we think. But I've learned that listening is just as important as speaking, if not even more important. As the saying goes, God gave us two ears, but one mouth, right? Anybody ever heard that one? The power of speech, and I, by the way, realize the irony of me talking at you while I'm saying that. But I'm happy to listen to what you have to say as well. The power of speech and the call to listen are themes throughout the Bible that go hand in hand. Moses knew that very well. He experienced the power of speech and the challenge of listening in his call to lead God's people out of Egypt. He spoke God's word to that incredible, indomitable power of Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't want to listen, of course, but God's words and power got to him. Then when Moses led God's people after they were freed through the wilderness for 40 years, they got tired of listening to Moses, or to God, who was speaking through Moses. Remember the golden calf? And do you remember that story about them complaining that they wanted to go back into slavery so they could have vegetables and meat instead of just manna? But God was still faithful to them. In our reading from Deuteronomy, God describes how he'll continue to speak to them through a new leader, once Moses is gone. God said, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that my prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. God's people were worried about what was going to happen to them after Moses was gone. And God responded with a promise that they won't be abandoned. God will still speak to them, and their job is to listen. I bet you hear a lot of words throughout the day. Me too. I often hear my children talking at the same time. I read stories or I listen to them on the news. I see what people post on social media. I hear people talking at church, and you hear them wherever you go to work or in your family home. I hear a lot of words from my kids' schools communicating with me about what's happening there and from their teachers. I talk to friends and family every day. And I try to do devotions every day. Now, this doesn't always go so well due to all of the other words happening in my life. For instance, the other day I was trying to do my devotion and my daughter was talking to me the whole time. But it made me think about, what power do we give God's words in our life on a daily basis? I remember being a senior at Luther College and in one of my kind of capstone religion courses, and the teacher put a Bible in the middle of the table of the 10 or 12 of us there were in the class, and she said, "What gives this power?" And we all kind of went, God, you know, and you know, history and all of this. And she said, "People give it power. When we read God's word and we believe it and we follow it and we share it, we are the ones that give it power." And now I might add that I think God does have a hand in that too, in working through us. But it really made me think that we have the choice to follow God's word or not. The Gospel of Mark that we heard from today has Jesus speaking with God's divine authority. His words have the power to replace the reign of evil with the reign of God, first in just that one man, and then later in the entire world. Well, we don't have Moses or Jesus in front of us anymore, making miracles happen before our eyes. But we can remember that even Moses and Jesus were questioned when they were here. We heard in the gospel reading the people saying, "What is this? A new teaching with new authority?" They didn't even know what to make of what Jesus did. If we truly listen and pay attention to what he does, the power of his words and his deeds change the way we think, the way we act, and the way we live. We don't always want to be changed, though, do we? I had to get a new planner this year when Thrivent stopped making my old planner. I haven't handled it very well. It's been rough. But what about the bigger changes that the gospel asks of us? Changes where the first are last and the last are first. Changes where the powerful are made low and the low are lifted up. Change that tears down walls instead of building them. Change that tells us to let go of the things of the world and take up our cross and follow a man who got himself killed. Change that brings the dead to life and light into darkness. And what does it mean that the words of Christ have the power to change the world? How have they changed us? How have our words changed the world for better or worse? And what does it mean that the demons are the first to respond to the power of Jesus? When you hear something new, how do you react? Do you truly listen, or do you retreat back into your own way of thinking? If someone asked you to change, would you be willing? What would happen if we drop our own walls and words and just listen to someone new? Not the same old voices we hear, because if we're really honest, we ourselves individually don't have all the answers or don't have everything right. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I feel like God's teachings are a big pain. I don't always want to listen to God. God's word challenges me in ways I don't always want to be challenged. Love my enemies? Love is not always the first word that comes to mind when somebody hurts me or upsets me. Pray for those who persecute you? Well, it's a way to start. Speak the truth? The truth can be hard to speak, and to speak it in love can be even harder. Care for the poor and the oppressed? And love your neighbor as yourself. In a world that teaches us to think of ourselves first and to take care of ourselves first, that's a pretty hard change to make. But Jesus modeled all these things for us from the very beginning. And if we follow him, we have his example and his encouragement and his forgiveness when we fail. Caroline Lewis from Luther Seminary points out that Jesus' first move after the wilderness is to confront evil. He shows us that God goes into that place where nobody else was willing to go. God takes on the demons that possess us. God does this for each and every one of us. God shines in our darkness. God forgives our deepest sins. God loves us no matter what we do. God is there speaking words of love and forgiveness when everybody else has gone. The God that created the universe cares so much about us that he goes right to confronting those things that tear us away from the love and peace that he offers. Because of the words that tell me about Christ's love and dedication to us, I choose to give those words of God power in my life. I don't always follow them perfectly, but I don't know where I would be without them, and I don't know where our world would be without them. So I want to take a moment now and share some of God's words spoken for you. And I hope that some of these words will land in your heart or your mind, and that it will feed you for the week or the weeks to come, and that you will give thanks to God for the power of his words and his love. So here now some of the words of the Bible. From Mark chapter 2, your sins are forgiven. We are not perfect, and God knows and loves us through it all. From Jeremiah 31, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God's love for us never ends. From Colossians 3, God loves you and has chosen you for a life of love. So put on compassion, humility, kindness, quiet strength, and patience. From Romans 8, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. No matter what is going on in your life right now, even if it's something challenging or bad, God will use that to work for good for him. From 1 John 4, there is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out fear. That is the kind of love God has for us. From Romans 5, I loved you at your darkest. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. From John 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I am the way and the truth and the life. From John 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And from John 13, on the night before he died, Jesus said these words to us, to his disciples. I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. It's my prayer that we will know the love and grace of God, that his words will have power in our lives, and that we will share that love and power with the world through the things we say and do. Amen.